broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The main purpose of the book is to have a starting point. Or no.
He's supposed to be a leader. And this is what we have in the legislature.
The main purpose of the book is to have a starting point.
You is so sweet.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that...
You is so sweet.
...knows what it's talking about. Who the hell is that, and why is that not funny? Anyway, every night till 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And then, truth is our bitch. Truth is our bitch, taken through the looking glass and beyond. And, we let you know where it am at, you know, and we go places where other talk shows can't go. It's as simple as that, and as you listen and as you watch, you will find out. Watch us online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. You can take a look at our live streaming video. You can listen to the archives. You can listen to our podcasts, all of them, our classic Phil podcasts for free, and, of course, our daily podcast of each and every show. Thousands of hours in the archives, our news feed, guaranteed email response from your brother here, Phil. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. That's the world we're living in right now, so you better get your backstage pass. Otherwise, you're like a one-legged man in the old ass-kicking contest, right? Right. All right, 877-876-PHIL. A judge in California has blocked a law that restricts sex offenders from living near parks and schools. We're going to be talking with a former sex offender, a man who spent 8 years in a forensic hospital, Herb Sewell, in just a moment, about this new ruling by a California Superior Court judge on something called Jessica's Law. The ACLU fights for students' right to wear bracelets that say boobies. Plus, Hall of Fame manager Sparky Anderson has passed on. Sparky Anderson, 76 years of age, and a resident of one of our local cities, one of our sister cities down the road here, Thousand Oaks, California. Sparky, 76 years of age. I don't know how many world championships, 3 world championships, I believe, 2 with the Reds, 1 with the Detroit Tigers, and a number of pennants. Great manager. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Later on, Ron Tarner will join us, Professor Ron Tarner from the Cloverdale Observatory in Colorado. All right, our affiliate spotlight this evening, by the way, on Sparky Anderson's former hometown of Detroit, WDTW 1310 AM, and in Lafayette, Louisiana, KVOL 1330 AM. So let's get on the line, Herb Sewell here from, well, actually, Herb, I will say that you're in Southern California, though you were not supposed to let anybody know where. Although you, as a sex offender, registered sex offender, you have to be registered, and people need to know who are interested where you live, but we are not going to let anybody know for obvious reasons.
There are personal security issues having to do with my own personal security. There's also, of course, the fact that I do register and I allow those access, need that access to my address. But I'm also employed in a research capacity for a number of universities on the West Coast. And so I would rather not let any, if you will, any fallout or collateral fallout from our interview this evening affect my relationships with them.
I understand that. 877-876-PHIL. All right, let's take a look at this story, Herb, because I know you're with an organization called the Sexual Offenders League.
Yes, the Sex Offenders League of California. And there are some 1,000, 1,500 of us. We are basically in a consortium, an organization, so that we might access legal defense information, so that we can be made kept abreast of the latest laws and the latest rulings having to do with the sex offender. For instance, issues such as this is very important. Where are we allowed to live as opposed to where we can't? What our legal rights may or may not be? And certainly what is best for all concerned, most importantly the parents, the families, and so forth, of these children. But we also have lives. We were not convicted of a capital crime that would take our lives from us. So we were in prison, and now we're out of prison. I am myself in a halfway house, but I am going to be at some point purchasing a home, and I have looked at homes that I would like for myself, and I don't want to run afoul of a law that is already quite restrictive, I would say, Phil.
How many years were you in Atascadero.
I was there 8 years.
You were there for a number of violent crimes, not only against children but women, correct?
That is correct.
You also are very familiar with and have become friendly with other violent offenders. Isn't that true?
Yes, that would be true.
All right. And this Sexual Offenders League is an organization of individuals who don't want to go and commit their crimes again.
No, by all means, no.
These are men who, are there women in your organization?
I don't know. There may be. I don't know. I haven't looked at the entire roster of participants and members, but there could very well be.
All right. So what is the number one concern? And let me just, before you tell me this, we got this Jessica's Law, and Superior Court Judge Peter Espinoza ruled that sex offense parolees are forced to become homeless or go to prison because the law gives them few housing options. Now, the law states it is against the law for sex offenders to reside within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park. Is that how you understand it?
That is exactly how we understand it. And we think the judge has made a very fine ruling here. Now, I'm not the least bit interested in going out and offending again. I am interested, however, in being able to live someplace other than under a bridge or in a box, or something like this. So I think it needs to be clearly spelled out to those of us in the Sex Offenders League and others who help us legally. What are we supposed to do? Now, the California Supreme Court has upheld, I understand, most of the provisions of the... And this came from Proposition 86, I believe?
Yes, it was in 2006, Prop 86, establishing Jessica's Law to increase punishment for sexually violent crimes. The judge in his 10-page ruling said that the housing restrictions have increased the homeless population. That, in other words, there's more homeless people out there and they're sex offenders.
That could very well be, and that's very dangerous. And we don't, those of us in the Sex Offenders League don't want this this situation to be, to exist. Any more than anyone else does. So what we are proposing is the following. The judge has already struck down the provision that to live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park is illegal. Therefore, those of us who are currently looking for a home, and this is a depressed housing market, and I would think that those selling homes would be inclined to have the business. I don't know how easy it is selling a home these days. So I would purchase the home, and if there is a problem, obviously, then either the park or the school needs to be moved to an area where you're going to have less of a concentration of sexual offenders.
And now, you understand moving a park a private school or public school is going to be very, very difficult.
I understand that, but what we're saying is two options here. Number one option is the following. Because it's been struck down, so I am allowed to live within 2,000 feet of a private or public school or park. So here's what we would say. Move the park or the school, which I understand is very, very difficult, or put some teeth into the law. If your child, and I say your child, I say this very generally, Phil, comes anywhere near me, then you are placed under arrest. You see, it would be the same were I, Herb Sewell, or anyone who's a defendant, sex offender league, or any ancillary organization, came within 2,000 feet of a child, or whatever it is we're not allowed to do. I'm not allowed to live in certain areas. Then it would be a crime, you see.
And yes, you're proposing that if you... So this law, having been that part of the law struck down, you're proposing that if the children come near the sex offender...
If the children come near the sex offender, yes. That the parents are arrested, that the child is then placed into some kind of state care until such time as this case can be adjudicated. Now, I'm registered. You can find out where I live. There's no excuse for your kid coming anywhere. When I say kid, I said it was all due respect, Phil, but I'm registered, and you find out where I live, I'm sex offender registry. There's no excuse for your child to come anywhere near me, and if your kid comes near me, then we have real teeth. We throw the parents in jail. Now,
well, what parent is going to want their kids coming near you?
I disagree, Phil. I don't think there's any parent that wants their children coming near me. However, let's put it this way. If I need to buy a home and I see a home that is well within my purchasing power, it's also a home that is close to a school or close to a park, and the parents know that that aspect of Jesse's law has been struck down, then you have this. Remove your children. Don't complain about it. Don't complain about it. But if you do complain about it, you now let the authorities know you have a child that is living near this sex offender. You're under arrest. So,
what about freedom of speech?
What about freedom of speech? You have all the freedom in the world, but you cannot, because of the risk to the child, you can't have your child anywhere near me. When you exercising your freedom of speech, say, I don't want that sex offender living anywhere near me, you exercise that, but you also say, oh, I have a kid here in the house, aha, now the authorities come to your home, knock on your door, take your child, and put you in jail. And I think that's the only real way. And since I'm registered, the responsibility is now on the parents to make sure no child is around me. I've done my part. I've registered. I've done my part. I purchased a home in as legal a manner as I possibly can. I purchased it perhaps near a school.
Well, are you going to go out and buy a home near a school on purpose? Are you going to go out and buy a home near a park?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not looking for trouble. See, there's no sex offender anywhere that's really looking for trouble. I'm looking for a home. I'm looking for a place to live as well as conduct my business, because I do telecommute. I'm looking for something that is befitting my income. That's what I'm looking for. So I've done my job, registered as a sex offender. I bought that house, thus and so. The individual sold me the home in a depressed economic, in a depressed real estate market. Of course, Giddy is a man on laughing gas that was able to sell the home that he had to a sex offender that's 2,000 feet from a park. You might even say it's funny. You know,
I don't know too many people that's going to think it's funny.
But no, what I'm saying is the man's been able to do it. So I shouldn't have to turn away from a beautiful home that is right up my alley economically just because it's near a park or school, and the judge agrees with me. That's not very fair. So what happens then is you live near a park, you live near a school, Herb Sewell's your neighbor, you open up your mouth and say, I don't want him there. Oh, really? Do you have children there? Yes, I do. You're under arrest. And so...
So what does a parent do in that situation?
Move. You have to move. There's no choice. Or keep your mouth shut and see what develops. And
well, that's what the fear of a lot of parents is, Herb, and to see what develops.
I'm not saying see what develops. I'm not going to do anything.
A lot of parents are afraid, Herb, that, you know, see what develops is exactly what's going to happen. And that means that before they can do anything, their child has been victimized. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls for our guest, Herb Sewell, coming up next. 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, Dr. Ron Turner. We're talking here with Herb about an aspect of Jessica's law in California that's been struck down. That law prohibited sex offenders from residing within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park where children gather. That has been ruled, I suppose, unconstitutional by a Superior Court judge. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming right back with Herb Sewell.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I heard about that. We're going to talk about it. On the line with me is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is a man who does research for a number of universities, history departments, as well as civics departments. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about his past as a sex offender, a man who was incarcerated in a forensic hospital, as a matter of fact. So you were, Herb, I don't want to put any more prejudice than is necessary here, but it's what we used to call a hospital for the criminally insane, isn't it?
That would be correct. That would be accurate, Phil, yes. It was at one time. Forensic hospitals referred to that way. It's not the most accurate way of looking at it now, because you can't really say, yes, criminally insane is true in terms of did I know or did I not know that it was wrong to do what I was doing. criminality in terms of the insanity of the individual means they didn't know whether it was right or wrong. I dare say there are a number of people at the forensic hospital at Tascadero and other places that were well aware of the fact that what they were doing was wrong.
But they did it anyway.
That is correct.
All right, we're talking to Herb, who was in for 8 years, about this sex offender law, Jessica's Law in California. This law said that as a sex offender, you were not allowed to live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park. That meant that in the minds of the legislators who formulated this law, at least they would be away from children as registered sex offenders. And, oh, yeah, there's lots of kids in parks, lots of kids in schools.
Exactly, and they overstepped their bounds very clearly. And the Sex Offender League pointed this out to them.
Well, what do you mean the Sex Offender League pointed this out to them?
Well, through our attorneys, we pointed out that this is a completely asinine and unworkable aspect of the law. I have every right in the world, after I've registered as a sex offender, to purchase a home that is in keeping with my financial ability. And if it is near a park, it doesn't mean that I'm going to run over there and start to molest everyone that I see. Now, if there's a parent that is, take that exception to this, I would say to that parent then, get your child away from me. If you don't get the child away from me, then you should be subject to arrest. That is what we feel a very workable aspect of law, and one that we can live with.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here with Herb Sewell. We're going to take some phone calls. Here is Thomas. Thomas, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Herb Sewell. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Phil. Herb, how you doing?
Yes.
I'm good, thank you.
My question to you, Herb, is basically, I'm a father of an abused child, but, you know, putting that aside, I'm not angry with you about that at all, but...
I hope it wasn't me.
All right, let's not make the jokes, though, okay? I don't want to do any jokes.
I apologize.
No, it's cool. I mean, coming from you, that's to be expected, but anyway... Basically, you know, my comment to you is...
I'm trying to be friendly.
Let's let the gentleman talk. I don't want to get into a lot of crosstalk and personality talk here. Go ahead, Thomas, make your point.
Okay, well, anyway, basically the law is, 2,000 feet from a school, a park, where kids play,
yeah.
or you know, it's in school.
It's part of Jessica's Law, Tom. This is Phil. It's part of Jessica's Law, which is a far more sweeping law than just that. But part of the law, part of it, was no residence within 2,000 feet of a park or schools.
Which, you know, in my opinion, should be a lot broader. You know, first of all, the question I have for him is, well, where are you from? I notice you have an accent. Or where are you from?
I come from Baltimore, Maryland. Baltimore,
Maryland.
East Coast. Yes, sir. I lived abroad briefly. I studied abroad, but I'm an American by birth.
Okay. Well, I noticed the accent. I was just curious as to where, you know, where you originated from, I guess. But I can understand of an accent.
I have what some people describe as a mid-Atlantic accent. As I say, I did study not only in Great Britain, I studied in France for a period of time.
Okay.
I've lectured. I am a much more than just a sex offender. Unfortunately, that's the aspect of my life that is taken over. And
all right, that, fine. That answers that question.
Gotcha.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Okay, so...
anything else?
In my opinion, this leak that you have is probably a good thing. You can, you guys who do your, you know, whatever you do can get together and talk about, you know, the things that you guys do. But that there should be...
Why don't I cut to the chase? Because I understand you're a little nervous. I'm going to live where I want to live, Thomas. The law is on my side here.
Actually, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is, because it says that they struck down that part. Now, I understand you not wanting your child near me. I totally understand that. I don't argue with that.
But it's up to you to get your child away from me.
Yes, I do. If you don't want your child near me, then why would you have your child near me? All right? You move, or you keep the child away. And if you don't, you're arrested. I'm not arrested. You're arrested.
Well, actually, it's coming the other way around. All you have to do is move into a neighborhood where you're 2,000 feet within a school or a park, and I promise you, you will be arrested, not the child's parents, not the child.
No, because they struck down that aspect of the law. You don't understand. So
Where would they strike down this part of the law?
Are you kidding? Mr. Hendry just read it to you. And it's in the California...
Don't worry about it. It's California law, Jessica's law, and that was part of the law that a judge struck down.
Right. So now I can live within 2,000 feet of a school. I don't want to. I don't want to be harassed out of a neighborhood. So to put teeth into the law, what I say is this. If you're found to have children living near me and it bothers you, then you're placed under arrest.
Then the parent is placed under arrest if it bothers them that you live near their kid.
That's exactly correct, because you've allowed yourself, you've told everybody where you live near me.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Back with more.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I wouldn't do that, though.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and online at philhendryshow.com with our live-streaming video and audio of the show. Herb Sewell has joined me. Mr. Sewell is among many things. We are not just one thing. We are many things. When we look at our own lives, Mr. Sewell was at one time incarcerated for crimes against children and women at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital here in California. Now, he is out. He is a registered sex offender. He works telecommuting from where he's living now, a halfway house, correct?
That is correct, yes.
We're just looking at this law, Jessica's law, that today there was a ruling made by a Superior Court judge saying that an aspect of Jessica's law, this is a law that is a law that deals with sex offenders.
And then, Phil, as a member, I am a member of the Sex Offenders League, and we're very familiar with the law. We don't ask to be consulted on anything, but of course we're very, very interested in the ruling today.
Well, the ruling today says that one aspect of that is, I suppose, unconstitutional. He says sex offender parolees are forced to become homeless because of this law. So the ruling that says you can't live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or park is unconstitutional, and therefore he struck that down.
That is correct.
Now, you said that you're looking at a home or a townhouse?
There is a townhouse that I won't tell you where this is because I don't want to. And this is just to protect myself. It's to protect the individual selling the home. But there's a townhouse for sale now that I'm very much interested in. It's right across the street from a preschool. But it has attached parking. The homeowners association fees are reasonable. The commons are beautiful, well, very well kept. Beautiful pool. Two stories. There's a living room loft, and it is perfect for the kind of work that I do. Now, it is across the street from preschool. Because I'm a registered sex offender, individuals will know that I live there, concerned parents, so forth. If the parents are coming out of that preschool with their children in their ballerina outfits, shall we say, or they're coming out of the preschool with their children all in their little pink tights or whatever they wear, that's parading that right in front of me. Now, if you have a problem with that, then you'd have to say, I'm moving. If you make it known to me or known to the authorities that you've got a problem with me living there, now you're placed under arrest.
Why are they placed under arrest?
Because you brought your child knowingly near my house.
But the whole school's there.
No, you're not going to arrest every parent. If they keep their mouth, excuse me for saying this, if the parents are all right with me living there, I was going to say if they keep their mouth shut, but I don't want this to be contentious. If they're all right with me living there, and yes, on some level they keep their mouths shut, and they don't make life for me any worse than it's already been, then we live together in harmony. But if they make an issue of it, then you either get your kid out of the school, or you are placed under arrest in violation of the law. That is, bringing your kid near a sex offender. You see, if I go near a kid, I get arrested. If the kid comes near me, the kid gets arrested. You can't arrest the kid, and that's what I wish I could do, but the parent then has to pay the price.
Oh, how are you going to arrest a little preschooler?
Some kind of an incarceration for the child, because the kid needs to learn, you know, if you want to educate, this is the best way to do it. Put that kid in jail for what he's doing.
Well, Herb, that's the first thing you've said on my program tonight that sounds a little weird, man.
No, there's nothing weird about it.
Yeah, it sounds very weird. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Julie on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Julie, you're on with Herb Sewell.
I just had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
You move into a neighborhood where there are already children there. There are already parents, there are already children. Why should the parent then be arrested just because they complain or they say something to the authorities about you living there? You know, they're concerned for their children. Why should they then get arrested when they may have been there for 20 years? I mean, you're the outsider.
I'm a registered sex offender. I've registered. I've done what the law asked me to do. Now I've moved into a neighborhood. Now these parents are saying that there's a risk to their child. Well, the law says that I have a right to live there. If you feel your child is at risk, then you've knowingly kept your child in an area where there is a sex offender. Therefore, you are in violation. It's a felony, and you go to jail.
Well, wait a minute. I think what Julie is asking is, you have a right to be there, okay, but the parents have a right to be there.
Right, but I'm not complaining about Julie. She's complaining about me. I'd say, well, why do you have your child near me? Well, I didn't know my child was going to be near a sex offender. Well, then it's all, just keep quiet about it. And I don't mean to say this to you, Julie, but in general, just shut up and don't say anything. Because the minute you do, now your kid's arrested, you're arrested, every kind of hell.
But it doesn't make any sense for you to be the one who's moving into the neighborhood for the person who's been there for years to be arrested when they haven't done anything wrong. I mean, they're trying to protect their children by going to the authorities and saying, look, you know, we're just concerned. We want to make sure that, you know, y'all are aware that he's here. You know, why should they be arrested for that?
Because I've already registered, so they already know that I'm there. And you, by going to them, you're bothering them, you know. I shouldn't say you're bothering them, but it's needless prattle, you know.
Well, what? I mean, if a parent, look, there's a sex offender on the street, I'm really nervous about this.
Right. And I say to you, say I'm the police officer.
All right.
And Mr. Henry, you know the sex offender has to register.
Yes, sir, I do.
Then why are you bothering me?
Why am
who
bothering
said that
you?
We were bothering you. I mean, you know.
Yeah, who said?
Well, I'm the police officer, okay?
Okay.
And you two come to me and you say that there's a sex offender on your street. And I say, yes, Julie, and yes, Phil, we know he's registered. And you say, well, it bothers us. And I say to you, you better just cut your losses, you know, quit while you're ahead and get out of here.
What does that mean, quit while you're ahead?
Because then I've got to arrest you.
For what?
Because you've got your children near a sex offender. Don't you understand? Isn't it about protecting children?
Yes.
Then why would you have your child near a sex offender?
I didn't know my child was near.
Well, now you do because he's registered. Now get out of my precinct. I wouldn't say it like that, but I'm sure there would be some police officers that would be very short on patience and might say, get out of my precinct house and don't ever come in here again.
I mean, I think that they would have the right to say, okay, yes, you know, you've told us, you know, we are aware he is registered and stuff, but there's still no reason to arrest them. I mean, it's freedom of speech to say to someone, hey, you know,
we're
not comfortable with this.
But if you keep on talking about it and blah, 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 and I've got other things I've got to do, and I've got maybe a rapist on the loose, or I've got to go and, you know, do duty for a funeral, or get a cat out of a tree, or some ridiculous thing, and you keep bothering me, at what point do I just say to someone, would you put her under arrest?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I you're saying, okay, I understand sort of what you're saying. Julie, thank you for your call. Parents that keep bothering the cops about sex offenders who don't just move are causing the problem. I sort of understand. I don't get, you're making the parent the bad guy here. 877-876-PHIL, we're talking to Herb Sewell about Jessica's Law, which today in the state of California, a judge struck down an aspect of that, saying that the part of the law saying that sex offenders cannot live within 2,000 feet of a school or a park is unconstitutional. He said to keep a sex offender away from just about anywhere where there are children would make him homeless. And in point of fact, he said that there are a lot of these sex offense parolees who are homeless, or they just go back to prison. Because the law it gives them few housing options. And so the law was, at least that aspect, struck down by this one judge. 877-876-PHIL. Herb Sewell on the line with us saying that because of that, he can live where he wants. And if people are complaining about it, and you keep your child near him, then they're placed. You should be placed under arrest. Here is Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Herb Sewell. Go ahead, sir.
Phil, it's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm going to try to keep my cool here with this thing that you've got on the line here.
We're not going to get very far with you talking like that. No, we're not going to get very far with you talking to me like that.
Well, you talk to me like that,
and I'm not going to listen to you.
Well, I don't care. You know what? What do you have this sex offenders league? Where do you get off telling me?
All right, gentlemen, hold on.
Well, the guy calls me a thing.
All right, just chill out. Go ahead, Kevin.
My question to you is, your sex offenders league, what exactly you guys do when you get together in your sex offenders league? Do you talk about... Do you talk about who you molested or what? I'm just curious. I can't figure out what this sex offenders league thing is.
It's a group of men who were incarcerated for these crimes, who share legal information, share information on housing, share information on rehabilitation, share information on hospitalization, insurance, and so forth. It's a way for these men to connect with others like them, whereby they are not tainting, if you will, the social atmosphere of wherever it is they are. And they're talking to people that understand them. I don't think it's unique in American society for individuals of unique experience to bond together. And this is the sex fair. And yes, we do sit around. We have a twice-a-year barbecue.
And you have a barbecue?
Yes.
Well, what do you talk about at the barbecue?
We talk about what it was like in prison. Things like that, but that's beside the point. The fact is, I have the right.
Will you let the gentleman talk?
My two kids, my little girl and my little boy, and myself and my wife have the legal right to go anywhere that we wish to. You, on the other hand, don't. Okay, you have. I didn't know you wanted the right to put your children in front of a sex offender.
Why do you want the right to have your children living near a sex offender?
I would rather you live under a pile of garbage, as far as I'm concerned, in a landfill. That's where I'd love for you to stay. 2,000 miles, not 2,000 feet away from a playground or a school. People like you are a disgrace. You're telling me that I have to be arrested because I come around you? Now, I'll tell you what, if me and my children happen to be in your vicinity,
yes.
I'm going to tell you something, man. You even cut your eyes at my little girl and my little boy. And you're going to have to deal with me, and yeah, I will go to jail.
All right.
And guess what? I'll be
and so you're going to parade your kid in her ballerina costume in front of my house because you think that's funny? Because you're getting your kicks that way, huh?
Wait a minute. He didn't say that.
Well, if he's got his kid in school, and he knows where I live, and he says, hey, here's my kid in a ballerina costume, what do you think, Herb? Wow.
My child has to go to school.
I don't know what to say about that guy. Huh?
My child can play wherever she wants to. And if scum like you come around my little girl and my little boy, you heard what I said.
If you come around my little boy and my little girl,
you need to walk away, pal. You need to walk away. I don't need to go anywhere.
You want your kid playing in my front yard?
I haven't done anything wrong.
I have not done anything wrong.
You have, on the other hand.
According to the law, yes, you have. According to the law, you have, because you've decided that you want your kid playing on my front lawn. What kind of a weirdo wants to do that?
He didn't say that.
Yes, he did. He said, I know where you live, Herb, and I still want my kid walking by your house in a cowboy outfit.
I'm telling you, my kid don't have to. My kid can do anything she wants to do. That's what I'm saying. You, on the other hand, you have all the restrictions.
No, she can't. She can't smuggle heroin. Is your child allowed to smuggle heroin? No. Can you use your child to smuggle marijuana? No, you can't. And you should not be able to use your child as a way of provoking me in my brand new townhome with attached parking.
Well, you see, this is a conversation that's kind of squirrely, because what you're saying, Herb, is you're in a townhouse, you're across the street from a preschool, there's parents coming out with little kids, and they shouldn't be able to say a word about it, because then that lets people know that they've willingly put their children in front of a sex offender, and they get arrested.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think the time has come that the shoe be on the other foot.
Oh, I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, no, it isn't. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense if you think about it. It makes perfect
no,
sense.
Makes,
you don't let me live
no
anywhere.
Sense.
I can't
absolutely
you want me
no
to live
sense.
Under a... You know, we have a housing crisis in California right now. I'm willing to put down cash money on a brand new townhouse. Do you know that that guy would crawl across broken glass to take that deal? But he can't because you, whatever your name is, Kevin, you don't want that guy to have the money because you won't be living in garbage.
Well, let's not blame Kevin. You're not going to put the real estate crisis on parents who are concerned for the safety of the children. Kevin, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Why did your voice sound all funny there?
What?
Your voice all went, it sounded hollow.
Get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Herb Sewell on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a moment on Jessica's Law.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Get control of your show, will you? Get control of your show.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I just found out that you had played football. I won't say the alma mater.
I would rather that you not.
But you did play football. You were a starting fullback, and you were a All-American.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. 2 years, my junior and my senior year.
All right, Herb Sewell with us. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Herb is a former. He was incarcerated for child molestation at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital in California. We're talking about Jessica's Law, a California law that made it illegal for sex offenders to live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park. It has been that aspect of it, that section of it, has been struck down as unconstitutional. Herb is part of a group called the Sex Offenders League, where you say that you share information and you also have a barbecue.
We have a barbecue twice a year, yeah. There's a group of us that sit down, and
these are all men who were incarcerated for the same thing.
That is correct, yes. And we'll sit down there. I will never go back to my old way of life, nor will any of these guys, but there is a, how do I put this? The crime is horrible, but there is an art to it. And so you do sort of kick around back and forth, how did you get away with that? So on and so forth. It's interesting, but it is also, it's disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds...
Believe me.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go up to a phone call here. Cheryl in Fresno, California, listening on KJZN. Cheryl, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering,
ma'am.
You know, why... I mean... Okay, let me start this over, because I'm getting a little confused. He's a sex offender. He's obviously made the choice to do something wrong to a little child. I don't know what the age of the child was. But the thing
all
is...
All ages.
That's fine, Herb. Thank you.
As parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and whatever, we are out here to stand up for our children to protect them from people like you. I don't know if you're going to go back to your old ways. There's nothing guaranteeing that you're not going to go molest another child.
No, trust me. Trust me when I tell you. No way.
But,
there's no
okay,
way.
You're saying no way, but how are us as parents going to understand you're living by a school, by children, by whatever? There's people out there that live life every day like a normal person, and we don't know if they're a sex offender or not.
Well, there's all kinds of people living there. There's children everywhere. Where do you live where there aren't children? Unless you buy yourself a farm, which I don't know about you, but the last time I checked my bank account, I can't afford that, or a ranch or something like that. So everywhere you live in the urban environment, you're going to be near a child. Now, if a parent is that concerned about the safety of the child, I've registered as a sex offender, then I would suggest they either move or risk arrest. I think it should be illegal to have your... It should be illegal for me to be near a child. If it's illegal for me to be near a child, then it should be illegal for a parent to have a kid that goes near me.
Why are we arresting the parents
because we're out there protecting our children against sex offenders being around our children.
Why are you living there as a sex offender?
I'm sorry.
That's nuts.
If we weren't out there protecting our children, then we should go to jail by all means. Because we're not out there trying to keep our kids from harm's way.
Right. So that's why you're going to jail.
Why am I going to jail? You're going to jail because you're saying,
hi, I have a kid here, and I know there's a sex offender there. And the police officer says, well, why is your kid here when you know there's a sex offender there? What do you say to that?
Well, there's nothing you can say. Obviously, you guys have to register for a reason. There's a reason why you guys have to register. That's to let the people know. But how many people...
Exactly, so I let you know.
There's people out there that don't have the internet. I don't have the internet. I can't get on the computer and tell you how many people...
You can get the internet very easily. You can get the internet for $30 a month. You know, so that's... I don't know what to tell you. I'm disagreeing because there's nothing saying in paperwork that I am not going to sex offend another child.
You can go back. The Sex Offenders League,
we guarantee in our league constitution that, well, it doesn't guarantee it, but...
Phil Hendry.
Ron Turner next.
Learn more at talkradionetwork.com.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Let's also remember that after parents, the biggest impact on child success...
If I had never wore this tie, I wouldn't have known his...
We are held to a high standard of public service.
And the security procedures are now going too far. I mean, there is a line somewhere, and he believes that...
Those fat, lazy veterans...
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Because truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And they won't, so they don't. 877-876-7445. 877-876-7445. The number here. And coming up this hour, a Utah trooper. Well, actually, coming up later on tonight in our news hour. A Utah trooper is in hot water for hitting a 53-year-old woman in the head. It was during a traffic stop there in Utah, and something went wrong. I don't know what, man. I don't know. I don't want to know. I guess I'm going to have to find out, though. Hit her in the head after this traffic stop, and so there's been hell to pay on that one, man. We'll find out about it. And the nastiest hotels in the country. Joining us this hour is Dr. Ron Turner, 877-876-PHIL, and our website is philhendryshow.com. If you want to have email contact with me, that's where you email us, at Phil Hendry Show. You go to our website, and you go to Backstage, and you hit that, and you'll find the email form. And we get to our email, and we email you back, and we talk to you, and some people I go back and forth with, and some people I'm like psychoanalyzing. And it's really creepy and really weird, but hey, you know, we said we would do it, so we do. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Turner is a... He's an astronomer as well as a cosmologist at the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. We have Ron on the line with us tonight. And we're going to talk about something that a lot of people didn't see, Dr. Turner, and that was Michelle Bachmann's Tea Party response to President Obama. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm very good, Phil. I have my son Jesse with me this week, so... we're having a great time.
Can you tell the audience? I did see it, Ron. I know you did too. Tell the audience what Michelle Bachmann was doing, and you don't have to give me any commentary. Just tell us. Just describe what you what happened after the president's speech. Because again, I don't think a lot of people saw it.
Absolutely, Phil. Congresswoman Bachmann came on television following Representative Ryan's response. So the Republicans had two responses, and I guess the television networks carried Congressman Ryan's response.
And that was a more mainstream Republican response?
I would say it was the more mainstream one, although with the popularity of the Tea Party, you don't really know what is a mainstream Republican response anymore. But then came Congresswoman Bachmann. And Congresswoman Bachman gave her response to President Obama's State of the Union speech. She said that the last several years were a disaster in terms of federal spending. She said that the health care plan was an absolute disaster. She said that the Tea Party is a very positive and constructive response to the distress that America finds itself in. And she said a lot of different things. And then she used as, and she said that we were facing a big fight. We were facing a very challenging future in making sure that we bring spending under control and making sure, Phil, that President Obama's health care plan doesn't get passed. And then, as a way of illustrating what the battle represents, she brought out a photograph, which I consider to be iconic, as do other Americans, the photograph of the Marines raising the flag on Iwo Jima.
You were offended by that.
I was absolutely offended by that. Where she would use the image of those Marines raising that flag on Iwo Jima as a symbol of the Tea Party's fight to overturn Barack Obama's legislation, I found it to be absolutely offensive. And I think every veteran out there would, if they had seen this, they would have. And if they'd seen it, and it was really an embarrassing display, Phil, because she wasn't looking at the camera for whatever reason. They had set the teleprompter up wrong. She was not only looking at the camera the wrong way, she had on too much eyeliner. It was, I think, an embarrassing presentation, but I was very put off by this using of that image.
Now, you told me that you are involved in work for animal rights. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we do use that image.
All right, so you do use the image of the Marines raising, and I agree with you. That is an iconic, and I was just talking to Jason, you know, my producer during the break, and said, well, what are the iconic images in American history? Well, I suppose as kids we saw, you know, Washington crossing the Delaware, you know.
Well, and, you know, and Mount Rushmore and many things. And I don't think there's anyone that doesn't know the photograph of the Marines on Iwo Jima raising the flag.
All right. She used that for the Tea Party. You use it for animal rights.
Completely different and just a completely different political point of view. And let's slow down here, because I want to be very clear. And if I got this wrong, I want you to tell me, Phil. I didn't think you were going to bring that up. If that is true, then we can talk about it.
Nobody told me not to bring it up. I know that you're involved in a great many animal rights causes there in Colorado. And haven't you guys used the Marines raising the flag on Iwo Jima as a symbol?
We have used it in our bailers. Here is why it is different from what Michelle Bachman did tonight in that State of the Union address. It's different because we are talking about the rights of a creature on this earth. We're talking about rights. And so it's different than her talking about not liking a president. I was going to say a black president. I guess that I shouldn't say that.
No, I don't want you to attribute that. I mean, we don't have to get, if the woman is using a symbol.
All right, well, I won't use it. You don't, I understand, Phil.
But I mean, if the woman's using a symbol or the Tea Party's using a symbol that you find inappropriate, we don't have to say it's against a black president.
Well,
it's against the fact that he's got a big spending program they don't like.
All right, it's against what they consider to be socialism. Completely different.
And why is your animal rights, the work you do with animal rights, why is it all right to use that Iwo Jima flag picture and not Michelle Bachman's Tea Party?
Is it different? I'll tell you why. The difference, Phil, is that we do work for the rights of animals. She is doing work to tear down a president. And let me say something else. What she's doing is she's using this very beloved image of the United States Marines on Iwo Jima raising that flag. She's using that to promote the a political fiscal view, whereas we use it to promote the rights, to promote human rights. It's not human rights, it's
but we promote animal rights. But when we in our advertising, we say human rights. Now, this happened tonight, and it happened, Phil, out of view of a great many people. I'm sorry that they missed it, that President Obama gave his State of the Union address, and then Michelle Bachmann stole from every single American, every American out there stole this image.
Dr. Ron Tarner is with us. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. And he's talking about Michelle Bachmann giving her her response to the State of the Union. There were two by the Republicans. One was from, I suppose, mainstream Republicans from Congressman Ryan. And then the other was from Congresswoman Bachmann. And in hers, she did have behind her, and she turned and sort of presented it, a photograph of the Iwo Jima Marines. Now, at the time that she turned and said, we have a big fight ahead, we have a against all odds, she turned and she said, well, this is against all odds. And that's when we saw that.
That's when she brought out the Iwo Jima flag. And let me just say, it was another example of Michelle Bachmann getting history wrong, because she said that against all odds. Well, the Marines had a very tough fight on Iwo Jima, but it was not against all odds. By that point, the American military had rolled the Japanese back very smartly, thank you very much. But I'll tell you, when I saw her, in the name of rolling back the Obama agenda, show the Marine Corps flag, I called up a friend of mine, Dick Wilson, who's a big Tea Party guy. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. And that's when he brought up the fact that we use the Marine flag on our animal rights brochures.
What did you say?
I said to him, that's not what I'm talking about right now. I said, I'm talking about your woman here, Bachmann. And I said that I'm offended on behalf of all Americans, and especially veterans, on behalf of all veterans, for what Bachmann did. And he said to me, what about veterans that would be upset with you using it for animal rights? And I kept saying to him, you really want to keep turning this against me. It's got nothing to do with me.
Well, isn't that a good question if you're using it for animal rights?
No, it's not. It's not a good question, no. I've already explained to you that the Tea Party sponsored the Bachmann insult to veterans. The Tea Party's not sponsoring me. And if it's an insult to veterans, at least the Tea Party's not doing it.
Well, what if we got some calls from veterans and find out what they think? You know.
Well, if I could jump in, Phil.
Go ahead.
I would think that I don't think that's a good idea. Let me tell you why. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to talk to them. I don't think Michelle Bachmann would want to talk to them. And since she's not here, I think it's only fair. I think it's fair for me to say that I'm speaking on behalf of veterans. I don't think she is, but I don't want to talk to any veterans. So I'd appreciate if you kept the veterans off the air. I think I am speaking for them, and that's enough for this conversation.
Well, I don't know that that's... All right, I don't know that you can say that. We're talking here with...
Well, I Phil, please.
All right, hold on. We're talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner. Our number, 877-876-7445, on Michelle Bachmann's response to the State of the Union address tonight, which used the Marine Corps raising the flag on Iwo Jima as a symbol of the against-the-odds fight she and the Tea Party have in rolling back Obamacare and these other examples of too much spending. Dr. Ron Tarner thinks that it's an insult to veterans to use it in that way, although his animal rights campaigns have used it quite a bit. And
if I could speak on my behalf.
Go ahead.
We have used it, but I've used it in favor of the rights of animals, not against human beings living.
And well, that's not what...
Well, if you're rolling back Obamacare... All right, I don't want to get into it.
All right, 877-876-7445 is the number. Your phone calls for our guest, Dr. Ron Tarner, coming up next. And next hour, we have our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, I really don't... I don't even want to talk about it.
Phil Hendry
Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show back here on number 877-876-7445 as we talk here to Dr. Ron Tarner. Dr. Tarner is a scientist. He's an astronomer. But we're not talking with him tonight about his field of study or his professional field. We're talking tonight about the use of a very iconic American image, which is the Marines raising the American flag on Mount Suribachi in World War II, which was used tonight by Michelle Bachmann in her speech against Barack Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and you were offended by that. Now, I can understand that, but what I'm trying to figure out here is the images that you use in your animal rights campaigns, which are equally iconic.
Well, you say equally iconic.
Let's talk about this picture of people falling from the World Trade Center. And that is, as long as I live, that will always be with me, the people that were jumping.
That is exactly right, Phil, and it is a terrible memory that we'll all have. We use that image, if I could, and we blend that image into lobsters that are dropped into a pot of boiling water, which is equally horrific and equally against human rights, animal rights, and so forth.
And you also use the very iconic photograph of Dr. King's murder in Memphis.
We do. And I have to tell you, Phil, I believe we're very respectful with everything we do.
All right, but I mean, I know that you've had a problem with KFC, animal rights, PETA, all these people. But the people that are pointing from the balcony of Dr. King's motel are pointing at a KFC, right?
That is exactly right.
And you don't worry that there's going to be some sort of racial overtone?
You know, I think you should apologize to me for you to say something like that.
You don't think that a very iconic picture of black people of Jesse Jackson and other people that were with Reverend King that day pointing, and what they were pointing to is where the shots came from. And
Mr. Henry, I'm aware of what they're pointing at.
But in the picture, you've got them pointing to a KFC. And looking here at the caption, even Dr. King knew.
That is correct, Phil. And
why would you use his name? Why would you use the Marines? What, you know, you've got a problem with Michelle Bachmann.
What are you talking about, use the Marines? I think if Dr. King were alive, I don't think he'd want animals to be abused. I think he was a humanist in every way. And I think we are being far more respectful to Dr. King that Michelle Bachmann ever was or ever will be in her whole life when it comes to the United States Marines and her misuse of that flag and the picture. Now, I'm very happy to speak on behalf of the Marine Corps.
Are you a veteran yourself?
That is completely irrelevant.
Are you a veteran, sir? I'm just asking. Are you a veteran?
That's completely irrelevant.
So that's a no, right?
No, it's not a no. It's irrelevant.
Well, I'm going to take it as a no.
No. You will not take it as a no.
Then it's a yes.
I'm saying to you that it is completely irrelevant.
You're going to speak for veterans, and you're going to say that the use of that flag, that iconic Suribachi flag raising by Michelle Bachmann, is offensive to veterans.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But not when you use it in your animal rights campaign.
I think I've made myself very clear. I think you owe me an apology, saying that what I was basically saying was, hey, here's some black people on a Memphis balcony, and let's go get ourselves a bucket of chicken.
And no, I didn't say that. I said, could it be taken that way?
Well, you introduced the theme.
You introduced the theme, sir, I think, by using that picture and using Dr. King's name. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dan in Brawley, California. Dan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm a veteran. I spent 20 years in the Navy from 1963 to 1983, and I don't find it offensive at all that Ms. Bachmann...
Were you a Marine?
Marine Corps Memorial...
Were you a Marine?
...her speech.
But you weren't a Marine, right?
Pardon me?
You were not a Marine, a member of the Marine Corps?
Well, what difference
does
it make? You said
Marine.
Veteran.
I wasn't a Marine. I was in the Navy. The Marine Corps is part of the Navy. If you were a veteran, you would know that.
I know that, but...
I currently work with Marine Corps.
Well, I understand that, sir, but you know as well as I do that the Marine Corps...
And none of the Marines I work with are.
The Marine Corps they well, always laugh at you guys and call you Popeye.
It's people
wait
like
a
you, people like you
wait
who have never served that think you can speak to veterans. Well, you
I'm
can't.
Speaking on behalf of veterans.
You
I
have
you
never
about
served.
It.
You have never served, and you have no right to speak for veterans.
If you thought
veterans
about it,
speak
you would
for
feel
veterans.
Ashamed of yourself.
Veterans
you
speak
you
for
that.
Veterans, sir. Veterans
sir,
speak
can I ask
for
you something?
Veterans.
What do you do when a Marine does the Popeye laugh when you walk by? You know they do
Marines
that.
Don't do that.
What's that got to do with anything?
Oh, he knows. The Marines are always making fun
Marines
of guys.
I know don't do that. The Marines I work with don't do that.
Not to your face, no. And here you are defending.
Let's forget about that, okay? This inter-service whatever's going on. Let's listen to what the man's saying.
Rivalry.
You know as well as I do, they
been,
do the pot, they go,
been a dead issue for years. The rivalry has been a dead issue for years. You need
so in other words, the,
you've
it
never served,
Marine
have you?
Stand for my
you have never served,
equipment.
Have you, sir? Sir.
Marine stand for my ass
sir. Sir.
Last to answer the
you
gentleman's question.
You have never served, have you?
That is irrelevant.
Well, you
it
know what? You've got to answer that question.
You're talking about veterans. You say you're speaking for veterans. It's very relevant.
I think that it's safe to
it
say
very
the use
relevant,
of that flag,
sir.
The use of that flag by
relevant.
Michelle Bachmann is
have
an offense to every Marine.
Have you spent any time in the
time
in the service?
I won't dignify
so
that with an answer.
Sir.
Have you spent any time in the service?
So have you, sir.
I won't dignify it with an answer. I won't dignify it.
That's
you
not an answer. I don't know why you don't want to... I don't know why you don't want to answer that question.
I will just simply say this. Yeah, that bothers you, doesn't it? And that's what Marines do to you guys behind your back.
That's none of your beeswax. What we're asking here is, if you are using this flag, the Suribachi raising, this in your animal rights campaign, why can't Michelle Bachmann use it in hers?
Because I'm helping save animals. I'm not standing there trying to get elected president.
Anyway, Dan, thanks for your call. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show here with Dr.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. You know, when you said that, Ron, there's few things in this world that will bring me close to tears. A public image. When that child was shot in Iran, that girl, that Neda, that tore the guts out of me. And for you guys to even consider using that.
Bill, I told you we did not. Out of respect, obviously. I told you we did not.
The fact that you would even consider using that for your animal rights campaign. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
If I could interrupt you, you've had an awful lot of judgment here tonight, and I think your judgment is concerning what I do with images, such as the Kennedy assassination. And
you've got a picture of President Kennedy, and everybody remembers this picture, where he leans forward and he's holding his throat.
That is correct.
And underneath it's something along the lines of, where is this? Give it to me, bud. This is what happens. Here it is. This is what happens when you eat mercury-laced tuna. That was President Kennedy having been shot.
That's correct, yes, sir.
And you're saying this is what happens when you eat mercury-laced tuna. In other words, let's take the another iconic image of an American president being murdered before our very eyes and turn that into what happens to people when they eat tuna.
Am I using the death of American Marines to promote my agenda to be president of the United States?
Okay. Don, what I'm saying...
Am I using my agenda to use American Marines raising the flag to be president of the United States? Yes or no?
I'm not going to be asked a yes or no question.
Am I...
No, you're not. And I don't think Michelle Bachmann was either.
Oh, give me a break. She stood there with too much eyeliner, and I have to be honest with you. I'm being personal, and I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it. Whoever put the makeup on that woman tonight, I don't know what they were going for, but she looked like something out of 28 Weeks Later.
Well, that's very flattering.
I didn't put on her eyeliner, and she was staring off into space. And then those great Marines raising that flag, and this is the symbol of the Tea Party. I thought I was going to vomit excrement. And I'm sorry to put it that way, but I thought that everything was going to come out of my mouth, including what goes the other way. That's how sick I was.
But you don't call it sick when you take a picture of Martin Luther King's death and those people pointing, and they're pointing at a KFC.
Because of the free-range chicken?
Because of the free-range chicken, Martin Luther King. 877-876-PHIL. It's amazing that you don't see my point.
It's amazing that you don't see how over the top you are compared to what Obama, what Michelle Bachmann did with her Elvira, Mistress of the Night, makeup.
877-876-7445. Let me go to a phone call. Melanie on KHNU in Hawaii. Go ahead, Melanie. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to say just how listening to the program, I am incredibly, I just think it's incredibly inappropriate for this gentleman to speak for veterans, to speak for people, to speak for Michelle Bachmann, when he doesn't speak to them, he won't let them have their say. So I just wanted to say that it is inappropriate to speak for someone else and not let someone speak for themselves. Because I'm a Hawaiian person. I am 50% Hawaiian. I would not say all Hawaiians feel this way just because I am Hawaiian. I have my own personal view, my own thoughts, and that's what all people have. And for this gentleman to say, well, this, I think all veterans, he does not know all veterans. He can say, this is how I feel, this is what I think, but
I don't speak for all veterans.
For people,
but I'm simply
on
saying
their
that the, yes, I'm saying though, in this case, and only in this case, I don't think the veterans are educated enough to know what they're talking about, so I speak for them.
What do you mean not educated enough?
So
don't you think every
you to say uneducated?
Well,
that is so rude of you, and so crass and so unintelligent for you to make a statement like that to say all veterans are
Melody,
not
Phil,
intelligent.
Mr. Henry lied to me. Mr. Henry lied to me and put a veteran on the air when he said he wouldn't.
I didn't say that I wouldn't put veterans on the air.
He wouldn't. He did not say. I was listening the entire time. He did not say he wouldn't. That is something
that you want.
But this is his show. Do you understand that?
Ma'am.
This is his show, not your show.
I'll give you an example. You know as well as I do that all Hawaiians are resentful of the United States making it a state, correct?
I am not resentful. I am not. You cannot speak for me.
Oh, come on. Why do you lie?
Where do you get off speaking on behalf of people?
I don't understand how you can say this. So the fact, I just want to say...
I'd say, based on what I know, Hawaiians want to have the king back.
No, you don't know. You don't know because you are not born and raised from the island. So you do not know. Okay, I am. I am born. My generations are from this island. So you do not know. Okay?
Well, you don't know where I'm from.
Where are you from, Don?
I'm not going to dignify that.
So you won't tell me if you're a veteran. You won't tell me where you're from. Are you from Hawaii?
I'm not going to say where I'm from.
How can you speak for Hawaiians?
From what I know of Hawaiians, and I know a lot, they want the king back, the pineapple groves, they want that life back. That's what I've heard.
That is incredibly untrue.
Oh, my God.
You know, that is so incredibly untrue. Okay? I am a born and raised Hawaiian. So to push all that aside and to not make things personal, which is what you are doing... You are making it personal, and you're not making it about the facts. So the fact is that you cannot speak for people. The fact is that you have your thoughts. That's your fact. That's your idea. Okay, that is your view. My view is that Michelle Bachmann speaks for people like me who cannot speak out, who do not have the opportunity to go on air and say how they feel. She is speaking for people, for the silenced people like us, who cannot stand up and say, this is how I feel. So just to let you know, it is how I feel. I feel that way, and I feel that Michelle Bachmann, she has her right to
speak.
I would have believed you had you not told me you were Hawaiian.
What did you say?
I would have believed her had she not told me she was Hawaiian. And that changed everything.
What does that mean?
When she told me she was Hawaiian, then I began to realize that her agenda is to bring the monarchy back to Hawaii.
You know what? That has nothing to do with it. We're not even talking about that.
Well, I understand, but we're talking about the picture that you feel that Michelle Bachmann,
you felt that all veterans would think that they were offended. That's what you felt, and that is what we were discussing on the show.
I believe that they are. Yes, I believe they are.
And you don't have any idea that you're not a veteran. You had a veteran call and say...
Let me ask this lady a question. Have you ever seen the Harlem Globetrotters? You probably haven't. And the reason why you haven't is because they're not allowed in Hawaii. Why? Because they're afraid that the Globetrotters, believe it or not, will stir up some kind of nativist reaction among Hawaiians.
About what?
About bringing back King... I don't know what his name was.
You are making intelligent conversation about something incredibly ridiculous. Do you understand
that, sir? No, ma'am. Incredibly ridiculous.
Absolutely asinine. And your views on Hawaii, and I know why you're thinking this way, because President Obama's from there, right?
You don't know that.
You know what? That's exactly, now I'm putting two and two together. You a birther?
That's none of your business.
Uh-huh. All right, Melanie, thank you very, very much, and
thank you for calling us.
Thank you very much, dear. Mahalo to you. I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, there's a good example there. You went mahalo. What, are you all of a sudden a beachcomber or something?
No, I was trying to be polite.
Do you know what that means?
Goodbye?
Well, duh. Let me be the one that speaks to people of color and veterans, because I have, as a longtime member of the Democratic Party, I feel I understand them better. And for you to jump in... And
what is this stuff about the Harlem Globetrotters, man? About how did they ever play Hawaii? 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Davey in Vallejo, California. Davey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I am. I'm a son of a 28-year Navy veteran, and he never spoke like that with the Marines. I was in NJRTC through high school for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Went on a cruise. Marines. And then how dare he... borrow an iconic military picture.
Yeah.
He has never been in the service.
Michelle Bachmann's never been in the service, and she had that thing up tonight talking about the Tea Party. And yet I use it for animal rights and for my lectures that I'll be doing next summer. And
for your lectures that you'll be doing next summer. For profit?
It's very unfair, Mr.
If for-profit lectures?
It's very unfair to let Michelle Bachmann use it, and I can't.
Why don't you, go ahead, sir.
I'm going to back up because I used to live in Hawaii, too.
Okay, David, you know what I'm talking about. Did you see the Harlem Globetrotters?
I know what I'm talking about. I've been to that memorial. Them boys and girls, there's girls nowadays, putting their lives on the line.
It's not in Hawaii. Where the Marines raised the flag is Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima, not Hawaii.
How dare you claim to be of an icon when you never served in the military? I can tell the way you...
I'm an icon? I can tell by the way you look through your face, you're probably crazier than a crap house rat, right?
And
That flag was raised on Iwo Jima, not Hawaii.
I'm trying to talk. You're not saying anything. You're intelligent, not come up with your own idea. Tell me that. Or you can't answer that either.
Yes, I did come up with my own idea, and this is it. The flag was raised on Iwo Jima, not Hawaii.
You copied the blessings of our men and women that are fighting for this country. Did you not?
Right.
And so did she.
Yeah,
why can't either one of you
come
up with your idea?
Michelle Bachmann did too.
How come you're not yelling at her? The doctor.
Oh, and she's the idiot?
Tell everybody
God, it's so unfair.
You're the doctor. How come you can't...
No. How come you don't know where the flag was raised? How come you know Iwo Jima is not in Hawaii? Iwo Jima is Iwo Jima.
Hawaii has nothing to do with the discussion.
Yeah, it does.
because you think that the flag was raised by the Marines in Hawaii. You blithering idiot!
Oh, will you come on? That is that's a very sacred icon, that flag raised on Mount Suribachi. You're using it for your animal rights campaign, and now I find out for a series of lectures that you're going to be giving. Where are you giving the lectures?
If I answer that, then this man, Davey, is going to go ape on me.
Where are you giving the lectures?
In Hawaii.
Oh, well, that's great.
I'm giving a series of lectures on how to treat it. What?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about Mount Suribachi and chicken beak, which winds up in most of your hamburger meat. All right? That's number one. Number two, you went to Hawaii. You saw the Harlem Globetrotters. I talked to a woman from Hawaii moments ago who said she doesn't want the royalty back. Well, you know what? You could have knocked me over with a feather. Okay? Okay, Dave? All right.
No. You still lost me.
See you later. 877-876-PHIL.
You having fun?
You know, you sound like a jackass. No wonder the guy was laughing.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, I'm having fun. You're going to use the Mount Suribachi picture. You're going to do this and that. I think if you are going to single out Michelle Bachmann for misusing an American iconic photograph, then you have to look at what you're doing. Using it for a series of lectures. You got Kennedy getting shot, and it looks like he's eating bad tuna. You got people falling out of the World Trade Center, and you use that for lobsters that are dropped into boiling water. I mean, every kind of picture that brings out such emotion in people, you use for your animal rights campaign, but Michelle Bachmann uses the Suribachi photo, and she's bad. Here's James in Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, James. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. You pretty much hit the nail on the head. He's using the same picture that Michelle did, and he's badgering her, but he's not pointing a finger at himself. He's pointing one finger at her. Well, he's got to tell her, look, he's got four more pointing at himself. I mean, let's compare
well,
people.
I lost a finger in a skill saw accident.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
I said I lost one of my fingers in a skill saw accident. So I'm only pointing three fingers back at myself.
Okay, but you get the man's point, right?
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna sit here and say that somebody jumping out of the World Trade Center who had two choices, burned to death or jump to your death. You know, personally, I'd much rather jump. I'm a fireman, and one of the main things that scares me is fire. But I do it because I want to learn more about it. And I can tell you this much. I can tell you this much. I'd much rather jump to my death in hopes I die of a heart attack and sit there and burn to death. That's a slow, agonizing death. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't sit there either. I would be running.
Most people are running when they burn to death. A lobster being dropped in a pot. You know, the last time I checked, which I don't know how far the religion y'all go, we're not getting into that. But you know, the good Lord put animals on this earth for us to eat, and I believe a lobster is one of them. I mean, you got to compare that to a shrimp. I mean, yeah, is that going to be your next slogan? Don't eat shrimp, and then show, you know, the world.
If you said that the good Lord put the animals on the planet to eat, you have a dog. You obviously don't eat the dog. And there are other animals that we don't eat.
We've actually, unlike you, we've moved forward in history and started learning more. You're like, don't eat your dog. I'm not. I'm eating a lot.
I'm going backward in time because I want to make sure that the Hawaiian people don't reestablish a. Are you laughing at me?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because at one point you're talking about, you know, the American people. Okay, now you're talking about the Hawaiians like they're not even American. I mean, if you're talking about American people, let's just say the American people. I mean, okay, you're going to go to Hawaii. I guarantee you it's probably going to be during the summertime. There's going to be a lot of people out there on the beach having a good time,
yeah,
you know, suntanning and everything. Congratulations.
Okay.
I'm proud of you. Go on a vacation.
Okay,
call it an animal rights movement. Be sure to have your picture of the flag being raised on Iwo Jima, okay?
Okay, wait a second. How come I can't do that, but Michelle Bachmann, in order to get health care rolled back, uses a picture of Marines dying on Mount Suribachi, and that's okay with you?
Because she is representing something about the government.
She's not representing anything other than her own desire to be president of the United States. But I'm the guy that gets slapped around and beat like some jail bitch.
Because you're showing pictures,
hello?
As he says. Of JFK getting shot,
yeah.
And you're comparing that to the eating, whatever. I didn't even hear that last
No, I said this man just ate, this guy just ate chicken of the sea.
All right, listen, James, it's insane. This man just ate chicken of the sea.
That's right.
That's what you're using that JFK picture for.
Yes.
Well, you know something, man? JFK was a guy. He was a human. He had family. He had relatives. Maybe they don't want you using his picture for chicken of the sea. And maybe they don't want Martin Luther King pointing to KFC, man. Boy.
You called that racist.
Yeah, I think that if there's a bunch of black folks pointing to a KFC, some people might get the idea. James, thank you for your call. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. What an idiot you are, man.
So,
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I know I am, but what are you?
Show next hour, we have our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Let's take one more phone call here for Dr. Ron Turner. We have Richard in Charlestown, Indiana. And Richard, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, how are you doing today, Phil?
I'm good.
Okay, yeah, I'd just like to make a comment concerning the doctor there. I don't know where he got his PhD from, whether he's really a doctor or not, but anyway.
I got my PhD from California Institute of Technology, Caltech.
Okay, well, you don't sound very intelligent.
What state are you in? What state are you in?
I'm in Indiana. But to get to the point, Indiana.
I thought he was in Illinois.
But anyway.
Where's anyway,
never mind. Go ahead.
To get to the point here is Michelle Bachmann's got just as much right to use the picture of the Marines using raising the flag at Iwo Jima as you do yourself. I mean, the reason she is using that is to show that they fought for our constitutional rights. And she has just as much right, the Tea Party has just as much right to protect, we're protecting ourselves against Obama's administration.
He has no right to use the U.S. Marines to attack Obama's health care plan. That is, somebody should have arrested her.
Arrested her? I mean, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of speech, okay?
Somebody needs to attack Obama's health care because with his death panels and everything else,
you think those Marines that died on, the Marines that died on Iwo Jima, they were all Republicans? I don't think so.
So no, I don't think that.
I need to use.
Good thing they weren't all like you. That's for sure.
Why can't I use that picture to promote, dogs being allowed to do what they want to do? Why can't I do that?
Well, I agree with you. I protect animals and all that, but she has the right to use that just as much as you do. You know, again,
I disagree with. That I disagree with.
It's a symbol of our constitutional right that they are, we're looking at a social.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It really wasn't a dress code violation. It was a matter of,
I want to see the players start hitting. And I want to see the organization actually.
This gas issue is serious, but here's the problem. Every time it happens,
Freedom!
I am a clown.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This is a show for patriots, by patriots, and each and every single solitary night here, Monday through Friday and Saturday, locally in Los Angeles, we walk across the softening and pointed heads of liberals and others whose view of reality and their take on the world has never worked and will never work. Even the liberals that they admire are nothing like this weak, ineffective, and confused bunch that we have these days. We have to continue. Not, we don't have to take our country back. We already have our country. I don't like listening to these people say, take our country back. I don't like the, I don't want anybody telling me that I don't have a grip on my, I got my country well in hand. And you do too. You do too. Don't let them turn you into, you know, like you're chained to a galley oar someplace, you know. No. This is America. You and I have our country well in hand. We just need to stand up. You know, I would never quote a commie unless the commie had something to say that I could take out of context and I could apply to what we're discussing here this evening, and I could even say it's rather admirable to hear that particular quote in the context of this evening. And so let me quote Mao Zedong. When on October the 1st of 1948, when their little commie revolution was finished over there, he did say something that I think applies to the American people, if and when we choose the proper date. He said, today is the day that the Chinese people stood up. No. It's not taking our country back. We've got our country well in hand. It's standing up. That's all we have to do. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Anyway, welcome back to the program. Gas prices keep going up and our wallets keep getting hit. Now the president says he's going to look into it. How about that? Joining us this hour to discuss the situation is Vernon Dozier. And don't forget to visit our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass. And it is there that you will get live streaming video of the show, Phil TV in HD. It is there that you will get the thousands and thousands of hours of audio archives that go back many, many years, the largest archive of any single radio show in the history of the world. It is there that you get the daily podcast. It's there that you get the classic Phil podcast. It's there that you get the news feed and the blogs. And it's also there, by the way, that we have our merchandise store and our brand spanking new Phil Hendry Show t-shirts are in, as well as our shot glasses, our coffee mugs, and, of course, our legacy best-of CDs from 1997 through 2005. So what are you waiting for? Get over to our website, and if nothing else, hit the merchandise shop and get the brand-new t-shirt, the Phil Hendry Show t-shirt, in time for summer. And I was going to say in time for Mother's Day. Are you going to lay one of those on your mother? Is that...
Yeah, well, you should like a shot glass.
Yeah, get a shot glass for Mother's Day. Anyway, and we are going to have yet another item that we'll be rolling out before summertime. Very, very apropos for the summer months. 877-876-7445. We'll get Vernon Dozier on the line here. And Vernon, of course, is a educator from Belmar Academy in the great city of Glendale, California. But he's also, along with members of his family, the owner of a service station, has been in the service station business there in the Glendale-Burbank area for some 20 years. President Obama announced today that the Justice Department is assembling a team to root out cases of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets that might be contributing to $4 a gallon plus gasoline. We are going to make sure that no one is taking advantage of the American people for their own short-term gain, Obama said at a town hall-style meeting at a renewable energy plant in Reno, Nevada. I'm wondering, and I'm being very honest now, I'm wondering how do you do that? And I'm sure there must be some process or a combination of processes, but I also know that business being business, you know, and these business people, they find a lot of different ways to get things done and to hide things. Here is the president saying we need a comprehensive energy strategy to deal with the high price of gasoline in the future.
This gas issue is serious, but here's the problem. Every time it happens, every time gas prices go up like this, like clockwork, suddenly politicians look around and they discover high gas prices, and they're shocked. And they get in front of TV and they say, you know, we've got a three-point plan to bring gas down to $2 a gallon. And then when gas prices go down, nothing ever happens. And we're back into the same old patterns. And we don't have a comprehensive energy strategy for the future.
There are some short-term solutions to potentially keeping gas prices from spiraling out of control. Obama outlines them here.
Now, there are some things that we can do right now. Last month, I asked my attorney general to look into any cases of price gouging so we can make sure nobody's being taken advantage of at the pump. Today, I'm going to go a step further. The Attorney General is putting together a team whose job it is to root out any cases of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets that might affect gas prices. And that includes the role of traders and speculators. We're going to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of American consumers.
All right, and finally, AAA Senior Travel Manager Garrett Townsend says customers are actually not canceling summer travel plans due to the high gas prices.
You know, interestingly enough, people are not opting to fly rather than drive. You know, you consider a family of four, tickets and fuel surcharges and luggage charges. It's probably cheaper for them to get in the car and drive, even though the gas prices are higher. You know, it may be reasonable to say that sometime during the summer, you know, we're going to hit the $4 mark. That's possible. Because we see where we're at now, and we're not even at the peak summer driving season. But we really feel that even at that point, it's not where people are going to just put off their plans or cancel their plans. They're just going to make adjustments.
Vernon Dozier joining us, not only a high school, as I mentioned, board member at Belmar and educator, but also your family has had two service stations on brand there in Glendale, right?
Yes, that's correct. So my father bought them in the late 1950s, and my brother and I both took over the operation of the one of them. My father had the other in 1979, and then my father died in the late 1980s. And my brother and I took that over. We also have a sister who her husband has been off and on with operating the service stations. And then we have a younger brother who is developmentally disabled, but has also.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your father.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Phil. It was quite a long time ago, but
and your disabled brother helps out.
He does quite a bit, yeah. And but it's something that I get involved in during the summer months because of school, because of my primary profession, which is as a school teacher. And so my brother Dave has been, and his wife have been the primary operators of these gas stations.
Now, I know you don't want to mention the brand of gasoline that you sell for reasons that I understand, but these are two. I know the area, and Glendale is a populous Los Angeles suburb, and brand, of course, is a feeder. This is a feeder boulevard down to the freeway, so people commuting in and out of town, you must get a lot of business.
We do, yes, we do. And
what is the reaction to, can you tell me right now what you're averaging?
In terms of the...
In terms of the gasoline prices?
Yeah, our premium is right now. Our premium is $4.79, and when we look at the lower grades, $4.19, and we have a unleaded at 89 octane, which is at $4.29, and we have diesel fuel as well. But I can tell you, Phil, that people don't like the prices. Of course, they don't like the prices. I don't like the prices, and I can be very honest with you and tell you that I don't like the prices, and as much pain as a consumer is in right now, I share every bit of it. It hurts me as the owner of a service station. And you know, a lot of these people are my neighbors. A lot of these people are my, people that I know from the school or the parents of kids that I teach. So we know each other very well here in the Glendale community. And to see what my neighbors are going through, having to spend this kind of money, it's very, very tough. And
when you say that this really hurts you, now, you can control price to a certain point, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, but it's not that much. You're not really going to... my hands are tied because, obviously, I need to make a profit. There's no sense in being in business without making a profit. And, obviously, if you see, you know, the opportunity... Obama was sitting here, and you know, I'm glad that you played those Obama clips, Phil, because there's no end to that man's manipulation and how he lies about things. He's sitting there saying, we're going to find out about price gouging. What is he going to do? The idea the federal government is going to stick its hand into my pocket, just like he's sticking its hand into everybody's pocket that's listening to me right now.
And well, when he talks about price gouging, he's talking about people taking advantage of the disruption, for instance, in the shipment of oil from Libya, shall we say, when we had the disruptions from Iraq. You know what I mean?
Well, of course I know what you mean, but what do you call price gouging? When you're a businessman and you see that there is an opportunity for you to, as my uncle used to say, make a beautiful dollar. This was his way of saying, make hay while the sun shines. But he was a Jewish fellow from Philadelphia, so he would say, instead of him saying make hay while the sun shines, because he was a Jewish fellow from Philadelphia, he'd say let's go make a beautiful dollar. Well, it's the same thing, you know.
All right, well, that's fine, and I'm not interested in the ethnicity of the man. I understand that you want to
well, I only brought it up to make a I'm not an anti-Semite, Phil. Please understand. But I'm saying is that if I have the chance to make money, am I supposed to say no to that? Well, I think everyone listening is going to say, of course you're not. But I feel their pain. I don't like to have to hear them complain about it. I wish that people would. I've got the message the first time, but when they're coming in every day and saying the price of gas is too high, the price of gas is too high, I have to keep saying to them, I understand. It begins to annoy me a little bit. Now, the average price of gasoline in California is $4.19. Now, I know that.
I want to go back to this thing about when people are whining. It bothers you.
I didn't use the word whine.
Well, when people complain, it bothers you. Why would it bother you if it also if it's bothering you as well? You know, in other words, the high price of gasoline you don't like.
I don't like it. I don't like it, and I've told them. I said this is painful for me to have to charge you this kind of price. It's painful for me because I know you've got children to take to school. I know you've got people to take to the hospital. You've got doctor's appointments. You have to get to the grocery store. It hurts me to have to charge these prices. But I heard you the first time. You know, there's an old saying, you know, our mother, you know, I heard you the first time. You know.
Well, let me ask you a question here. So, in other words, it's very redundant.
Every time they come in, oh, boy, it's price of gas.
Well, isn't that something you should expect, though? You know.
In what way?
Well, in what way? Because you've got a situation in this country for the cost of gasoline, which is blood in this country. It is absolute blood. It always cracks me up when people say no war for oil. Of course there's war for oil. Without oil, the country stops. You know it and I know that. Okay?
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that because some people think that we don't need it, you know.
When people are complaining about the price of gasoline, it seems like a very legitimate complaint because the price of that is astronomical. It drives prices up. It's one of the main reasons every time we have high cost of fuel in this country, one of the main reasons why we endure these economic downturns or recessions or depressions, if you will, because of the price of food and fuel. And food oftentimes will go up in price because the fuel goes up in price, okay? So this is what I'm talking about. And so you getting annoyed at the customers for, quote, complaining, it seems to me that's the only thing they have left.
No, it is not the only thing. You know what, Phil, you make good sense, but that's one area I can't give on. I will not give in on having to stand there and listen to them crying about the price of gasoline. I already told them that I agree with them. And when they whine like that, it reminds me of a time in my childhood. I'll just tell this very quick story. When my younger brother was born, and my father and mother found out that he was developmentally disabled, they put me in charge of him. And to hear the whining of people saying the price of gas is too high reminds me of my parents telling me to wipe my brother's rear end, comb my brother's hair, and it reminds me of a time when I was put in charge of him. Now, I have done my duty to my brother to the point where he works here at this service station. But I don't have to keep listening to it. And every time these people come in and complain to me about the price of gasoline, it reminds me of that.
All right, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show here. Your calls with our guest, Vernon Dozier. He wants customers to stop complaining about the high price of gas, and he claims it hurts him, too, by charging you more. He doesn't want to have to do that. What's your take on this? If he cared that much, why wouldn't he lower the prices? 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The high price of gasoline. We have one service station operator on the line, Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California, who agrees with all of us that we're paying too much, but there isn't anything he can do about it. And I think when we hear someone say that, Vernon, when we hear a service station owner say there's nothing that he can do about it, that's what I think Obama's talking about.
Well, hold on for a minute. This is Barack Obama. Now, let's remember one thing that we all agree on. And I, you know...
You hold on, because what you're going to do now is tell me, well, Barack Obama, he's full of crap, so let's all get together and bash Barack Obama. But the fact is that I want to ask, you know, I asked you, can you not control the price of gasoline to the point where it's not going to kill us?
I can't because, no, I cannot do that. I cannot do it because I have a family. I've got a developmentally disabled brother. I've got a wife, just as you do, Phil. Would you lower your price? Do you hear anybody out there lowering their prices? All of the people that are calling into your show, are they lowering their prices for the services that they render? I am in pain. I feel the pain of the consumer. It hurts me to raise the price of gas. But I've got to do it because this is an opportunity that only comes along every few years, as you yourself said.
And so the opportunity to raise the price of gasoline comes along, and you must take it, even though it hurts you.
Well, you're minimalizing and minimizing what I'm saying. I mean, you're making it sound trivial. This is a deadly serious business, Phil, of retail and knowing what the price is and knowing how to charge the right price. But again, I'll say it to you. Barack Obama is the one who has run this economy straight into the ground. And I don't see anybody, you almost like are singing his praises.
All I'm saying is that Barack Obama is the guy that brought up the price gouging thing. Now, when people come into your gas station to buy gasoline, when people come into your gas station to buy your products, and they complain, you don't like that. And
because I've been hearing it my whole life. I've been listening to people complain about the price of gasoline since I was a kid. When my father first bought these gas stations, I remember people coming in and bitching about the price of gas when it was 33 cents a gallon. And I'm telling people out there in America today, I know you're paying a lot for a gallon of gasoline, but think about this. If you're paying $4.19 for a gallon of gasoline, in 10 years, it's going to be $10 a gallon. In 20 years, it's probably going to be, $15-$20 a gallon.
In 20 years, the hope is, the belief is, the prayer is, in 20 years, we'll no longer be reliant on fossil fuels. We'll no longer be reliant on oil for refined gasoline. We'll be on to some other energy source.
Well, that's all well and good, Phil. Don't put me in that. I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe it was going to happen in 20 years anymore than it was going to happen 20 years ago. So I'm saying, when you look at the price of a gallon of gasoline at $4.19, don't come to me and complain and cry about how it's killing you, because all that does is grate on my nerves. It sounds like my parents telling me to change my brother's diaper. That's what I...
You know, your personal problems are your personal problems. I just got done talking to David Castorini. This is a disingenuousness, okay? You claim to care about the consumer, but you don't. You're making money, and you are making a comfortable amount of money, and you're telling me you care about consumers, but in point of fact, I don't hear you care about them at all. I think you are just, you're pretending like, oh, wow, I'm a businessman, I don't like Barack Obama, and I really hate doing this to people. What the hell am I supposed to do? I got to make a profit.
Well, so in other words, you're calling me a liar.
I'm not calling you a liar, if you want to put that word on it. I'm saying you're disingenuous. If you really cared about consumers, you'd lower the price of gas.
I want to lower the price of gas. I wish to God I could lower the price of gas. As God is my witness, and you talked about Mr. Castorini, you had on the program, I'm a Christian, and I stand before God as my witness. I wish I could lower the price of gasoline, but I can't do it. I'm not built that way. No good businessman looks at an opportunity like this and says, I think I'll go backwards on the price. You might as well do what those men were doing many years ago, whether you would self-mutilate with a knife. You know?
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show, the price of gas. Is it coming down or not?
Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier, a number 877-876-7445. And we're talking tonight about the high price of gasoline and Mr. Doja's two service stations on Brand Avenue in Glendale, California. But all over this country are service station operators. There are tanker truck drivers. There's all kinds of people dependent upon gasoline refined from oil. And the price of gasoline at $4.19, and that is, I believe I heard that was the average in California. What's the average across the country? Do you know?
I'd have to look it up, Phil, but it's a lot lower than that. $4.19 is the average in the state of California.
Well, we're doing a national show, so what's the average in the state of in the country? It's $3.84. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right. I want to ask you a question. Our number is 877-876-7445. Why don't you just lower, if you can't lower the price of gas, which you say that you cannot.
It's not me making a claim, Mr. Henry. I'm telling you that I cannot. I'm not saying that I can. I can't. All right? And I resent a little bit you making it sound as if I'm concocting some story.
All right. Then you can't. You cannot lower the price of a gallon of gasoline anymore. Why not lower the costs that you are passing on, the costs that that the consumer is absorbing at your service stations, why not the lowering the price of other products? You know.
Well, I'm not going to lower it here. Are you talking about the price of oil, for instance?
Well, yeah, oil, the price of anything in your store, the price of a candy bar.
No, you can't do that. I can't do that.
Why can't you? Why can't you, in other words, do something to say to the consumer that visits your service station for gasoline, I understand these prices are really high. Let me try to chop your expense someplace else.
I can't do that. And the reason why I can't do that is because I am a businessman, and I am a man, you know, let me explain a little bit to you, Phil. I don't know how much you know. I don't mean to be condescending, but I really don't know how much you know about life and how life is lived.
And I know plenty, sir, okay?
All right. Well, okay, great. I had a father that looked at me like I was nothing. He looked at me like I was nothing. And he dumped in my lap a kid brother that at the age of 16 had to have diapers changed. I had no problem with that. At the age of 16, he needed to have someone come in the bathroom to wipe him. I still have that, brother.
And I commend you for that.
No. Hold on. You're not going to get to give a speech here. I'm going to tell you the whole story. My father, even though I put up with all of that, my father looked at me and said, you aren't going to employ, you wouldn't amount to. I know, you know, he didn't think I was going to amount to anything. And I took over these service stations, and I turned them back over to Dave during the school year after I got them up and running, and they started turning one hell of a profit. And I did all of that. And still took care of my kid brother, who now works here. He's an assistant mechanic. He's sitting to be honest with you, Phil, right now, he's sitting in the maintenance bay right now. And I love him dearly. And I said to him, you know, when you see a car come in, Dave, go ding ding. Or not Dave, his name is Jeff. But I said, Jeff, when you hear a car come in, go ding ding. So when you hear Jeff say ding ding, a car's coming in.
And what does that mean? Oh, the bell?
The bell, yeah. Now, nobody, and I mean nobody, after my old man said to me that I wasn't going to amount to a hill of turd, and I spent half my time wiping his rear end, no one's going to tell me that I don't get to get mine, and I don't get to get my fair share. Now, it's been a long time since my father passed on. God bless him, and God rest his soul.
Yes.
But I'm a businessman, and while I feel for the average person out there, when you say to me, why don't you lower your price, I don't even know. You might as well be speaking Swahili. I don't speak that language. I'm an American businessman in the middle of a world gone mad, in the middle of a world where people are socializing communism, in the middle of worlds where economies are being taken over by governments, with the government getting more and more and more of my money. I'm an American businessman, brother. And when I hear people come in here and they say you charge too much for a price of gas, it's all I can do to keep from putting my hands on their throat and pressing my thumbs into that soft part of the neck.
Well, you know something? That's a little bit hypertense, man.
Excuse me?
excuse me.
You know, you can have all you want of this world's profits and making profits and business and taking care of your brother. God bless you for that, Vernon, and all of those things. But when you say that somebody came in and started complaining about the price of gas and you want to strangle them.
I've had it. Do you understand? I've listened to a father tell me that I wasn't going to amount to a hill of cat box. He said I would. Boy. Oh, man. My father looked at me one day and he said, "You know what? If you were Johnny Cat, I wouldn't pour you into that plastic tumbler." Can you imagine a father saying that to a son? And when he died, and I told him that I loved him, and I watched as my father passed on, and as soon as he died, this is what I did. You want to know what I did, Phil?
Go ahead.
I went this way.
Hey. Yeah, baby.
And my mother was angry, and my brothers ran. I said, "You know what? I was due that."
You got some issues, brother. You know.
Oh, here we go with the issues. I heard the last guy had issues too.
Well, that's to me. That is just, you know, 877. Taking it out on the customers is unfair. Taking it out on your customers and saying you're going to strangle them, unfair. 877-876. Phil. Here is Yvonne in Tucson. Hi, Yvonne. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hey, how you doing? This guy cracks me up.
I'm good, ma'am.
This guy cracks me up.
Huh?
He's sitting here saying what a Christian he is and how he swears to God that he would do this and he would do that. Yet
yes,
everything he is doing exemplifies the greed in our country and is contradictory to the Christian religion. Now, I'm not a Christian, so I'm not going to fight it on that level.
Okay. Then you can't comment. Then you can't comment.
We're talking about our country is laced with greed, and that's our problem. And everybody talks about how what we need to do is we need to curb greed. Yet nobody is willing to be the first as a businessman and step up and curb their own greed.
We need to stand up like business people and start making a profit again in this country like we used to. We don't need to curtail profits.
I am a business owner, and I do it on integrity, and I do it on righteousness.
Let me ask you a question.
I don't do it on greed, and I make money.
What do you sell? What is your business?
I own a wine shop.
A wine
I own
well,
a
what
wine
a
shop.
Child you are.
A wine shop, huh? So you sell to all those rich people. You sell to rich
I'm
people.
I'm sorry?
You sell to rich people. You know who I deal with, ma'am? I deal
the
with the regular people every day.
The concept of the concept, you look it up on the internet. The concept of my shop is everything is under $15. I am there to sell to the average individual. I do not dream people. I do not take advantage of people. And I do not use Christianity as my basis for being able to rip people off.
Ma'am, if you operate a wine store on Skid Row, there's something right there that needs to be discussed because those men are getting fortified wine. And
what do you mean Skid Row?
Well, she says everything's under $15.
What's that? Why is that Skid Row? Are you aware of what's happening
in the wine industry?
The wine, there's some very good wine for $3. But what was that, $2, Chuck? Yvonne, there's some good wine that's.
If you're going to talk about Blanco, we're not going to go there because I don't sell Blanco's wines. I don't sell Blanco's wines.
Are you selling Sneaky Pete? Are you selling Boone's Farm? Yes, ma'am.
The point I'm trying to make is that you're saying that you're basing your business on greed.
Hold on. What is that?
Hold on. That's Jeff. Jeff, shut up. Jeff, shut up. It's my brother. I'm sorry.
What's a setup?
Go ahead, ma'am.
Jeff. What's that? My brother Jeff was making a noise in the background. That's all.
Well, why don't you tell him to have a little bit of coos? I'm sure he's a Christian, too. So just tell him to have a little bit of coos.
He's mentally retarded. Excuse me. He's developmentally disabled. He's developmentally disabled, if you'll pardon me, ma'am. He's retarded.
Well, we don't like to use the word retarded.
I'm empathetic towards that. And you would think that would make you empathetic towards several things as well. But the fact that you're feeding off of greed.
is free.
You're here to make a buck, and you don't care how you make a buck.
Hold on. You don't shut up. Do you want to see me slug my brother? Because with you talking... And
what is it with you, Vernon? I want to know. You want to strangle customers. You want to slug your brother. You're making a profit. You're making a nice profit. You got a gas station. You tell everybody you're in pain. All right, you're in pain. I would have more respect for you if you said, you know what? It's pretty good times to be a gas station operator. I'm sorry about people having to charge all the money, but hey. But instead, you are making money. You're threatening to strangle customers if they complain about the God, the price. You're going to beat up your brother who is developmentally disabled.
Background going, woo, woo.
And you're a Christian. And you're a Christian.
Yes, ma'am, I'm a Christian.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Then act like a Christian. You know, who was it, Gandhi, that said, I'll become a Christian when I meet one?
Gandhi? Who's he?
Yeah.
The Indian man who was...
I'll become a Christian when I meet one.
I never heard of him.
Act like a Christian. And a Christian is supposed to be unconditional. They're supposed to be loving. They're supposed to emulate Jesus Christ.
I do as much as I can. But you know something, ma'am? I do.
I haven't heard a single word that you said to emulate Jesus Christ.
All my Christianity got worn out with my brother here, my brother Jeff. That's all the Christianity I got.
Really? And you were going to slug him?
Because this lady's voice was getting on my nerves.
You know something? You got very little patience for a guy that works for the people, especially a gas station owner, and especially a guy that's making the kind of jack you're pulling down these days. Thank you very much for your call, Yvonne. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Ben in Tampa. Hi, Ben. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead.
Hello. I just got a simple question,
yes,
Mr. Dozier. I understand what you're talking about when you say, yeah, I want to strangle people because they keep bellyaching about gas prices.
Yes, sir.
Now, okay. Now, the only issue I have, and it's you know, you can interject when you feel like it, but when your gas prices go up due to speculation, okay,
You paid
for fuel that is delivered to your stations.
Don't shut up.
No matter. Okay, I'm going to use a rough example. Okay.
All right.
If you've got $4.19 a gallon on your sign saying I'm charging $4.19 a gallon.
Correct.
But you paid $4.15 a gallon when it was delivered. And then a week later, the speculators say, okay, gas is going to go up to oil is going to go up to $130 a barrel. And immediately, the very next day, you charge 10 cents more a gallon
for
fuel that you have already paid a certain amount for.
I'd be an idiot if I didn't do that.
No, I know what this gentleman's saying. You've already paid for that fuel, but since you know that in the future they're buying oil for a certain price, you're going to go ahead and jack the price now. That's gouging.
That's not gouging. That's greed. That's being downright wanting to break it off into your neighbor, buddy.
Hey, it got broken off into me when I was a kid. And you know what it was? It was my brother Jeff. They stuck him in and broke it off. And now I've had to deal with that.
What difference does it make when you are...
Buddy,
Jeff, you know,
you have issues with your brother. If you can't handle him, you need to put him where to give him to somebody that can.
Right.
Because, I have had to deal, and I hate the word retarded myself. I literally despise the word. I had to deal with a challenged relative that drowned in a swimming pool because she wasn't watched when I wasn't there. So don't think you've got all these problems because you're dealing with a brother. We've all had to deal with problems that we don't
lucky,
have.
Though.
What do you mean consider yourself lucky?
Well, Jeff's still
here. You need to
consider that's a hell of a thing to say.
Your brother's still there.
Lucky? I've been trying to talk to you here for the last 20 minutes, and in the background you're listening to this guy with a woo-woo-woo, all that stuff, right? I wish I'd get some customers so that he'd go ding-ding or something.
Well,
you know,
You're not hearing what anybody's saying. Listen, I thank you very much, sir. I got to take a break. I appreciate great call, though, Ben. Thank you. You're not hearing what anybody is saying. They're basically saying this. You know, there is such a thing as neighborliness. There's such a thing as being a businessman who knows how to deal in the community. You know, you know your friends. You say you know your friends and you know your neighbors and you know all of the people that visit your station. And yet these very simple things that gentleman was talking about, you don't want to do. Because way back when, your old man said you wouldn't amount to a pile of Johnny Cat.
Oh, here we go. See, I knew you'd laugh. Well, hold on. Hey, what a funny man. What a great stand-up act.
All right, you know.
Don't act put upon, Mr. Hendry. I'm the one that's put upon. Okay? A long time ago. All right, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. If you can get him under control, 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with our final segment with Vernon Dozier as we talk about the high price of gasoline here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our news and information hour next hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. With me is Vernon Dozier. We've had a spirited conversation both on and off the air. Mr. Dozier is a member of the board at Belmar Academy, a varsity football coach at Belmar, as well as the math and science teacher for their junior and seniors, and he is also the owner-operator of two service stations, along with his family. In Glendale, we're talking about gas prices. And you know, Vernon, I will only say to you, sir, that the price of gasoline, you know, is a high price of gasoline. When you keep saying that you have no choice, that you are not going to lower the price of gas because of the way your father treated you, we have no way of arguing. We're not even having a rational conversation any longer.
We are having a rational conversation. As I said to you during this commercial break, we are having a rational conversation with regard to me because of the you've been listening to my brother and you know a little bit about my family. And if a consumer already knows the price of gas is high and keeps coming in day after day after day, boy, that price of gasoline is really high, Mr. Dozier. Boy, that price of gasoline is very high. You know, I said to one lady, and she's a customer of mine, I said, you go to hell. And I was shocked that I said it. And she looked at me. I don't think I've seen her since, and I don't blame her. But that's how it affected me.
You told a customer to go to hell.
Yes, sir, I did.
And all she was doing was complaining about the price of gasoline.
All she was doing? What have I been...
All she was doing. 877-876-7445. Here is Jason in Durham, North Carolina. Jason, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Jason. How you doing, Phil? You know, first of all, straight to the point. I managed a gas station for a lady that owned 6 gas stations in the North Carolina area. And when the gas had got up to $4 back here when President Bush was the president, this lady stopped the gas at $3.25 at every one of her gas stations, every one, until gas came back down to $2.89. That was the furthest she would take it. She had her own refinery, and she had her own gas station. So you tell Vernon, don't he sit up there.
She had her own refinery. I don't have my own refinery. That's ridiculous.
You don't have to sit up there and come out. I can't do this to the gas. I can't do this. You know what? Your key point was, I'm a businessman. You know, dude, you're
that's right.
You're in it for the Rolls Royce that you got sitting in your driveway. You're in it for the kids that you got going to college. See what I'm saying?
Why I got a brother saying ding, ding, do you understand? If I got a kid brother going ding, ding.
Phil Henry.
What do you think I'm going to do?